Ebenezer family. I'm just so excited to be back with you today as we worship together. And we just thank God for what he's doing and connecting us together and all the prayers of the righteous that are going up, because they surely do availeth much. So much is changing in our world, and just momentarily we're going to go into prayer to pray over those things, especially those things that are going on in Israel and COVID policies, all of these things. India is still struggling, so a lot to pray for. I want to thank you so much for connecting to ebcnc.com or using our app. Lord has blessed us with that. We've got three services, our 8:45 in-person service. We've got our 10 o'clock online, and we've got our 10:45 in-person. And we're just praying that God will still be glorified and lifted up, and souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. And thank you for your giving, whether you're sending it into our secure mailbox or using the Tithely app or our app connected in there. We just thank you for that, or your in-person service and your giving, putting it in the box. We just thank you for all that you do. And as we go forward, I just really want you to celebrate God's goodness in your life. I'm blessed thinking about the scriptures that we're going to get back into in Romans chapter 8. But I want you to think about how blessed God has made you and the things that he's doing in your life. So let's just go into prayer and just lift up all of these things together. Father, I just thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for Ebenezer. Thank you for what you're doing within our little area of influence, Lord. How you're saving souls, delivering and setting free. How you're encouraging people to become more like you as your spirit is leading us. Lord, we lift up the things that are going on in India, the massive loss. And I pray that souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth over there. I pray for Israel, Lord, and the Palestinians and all these things that are going on, and lives are being lost, Lord. And I know this is all a part of your end time plan. So, Lord, I just pray, Father God, help us to be in the center of your will. We also lift up those bereaved families that are still suffering from loss, and also some new families, Lord, that have lost loved ones and are having to navigate through funeral arrangements. And so we lift them up also. We've got some that are going through procedures, Lord. Cancers are all types, Father God. Just struggles in their lives. But we thank you that you are a healer. Most importantly, thank you for making us more like you. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, after this next song, we'll be back and we'll get into Romans chapter 8.
Every song I sing, I'm going to sing it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Pick it up. Every step I make, I'm gonna make it in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher. Ooh, ooh. Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher. Ooh, ooh. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna pray it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna pray it in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every round goes, just a little higher, 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 higher. I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Yeah, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
He'll make it high,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
Valleys make it low,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher, higher,
higher,
higher,
higher.
Ooh. Every song
I sing,
I'm gonna sing it.
In the name of Jesus,
yes I am. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna sing it.
In the name of Jesus.
The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher,
higher,
higher.
Higher.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
He'll make it high,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
Valleys make it low,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
Well, I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
Hills get high,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
Hills get low,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it.
Because every
round goes, it gets a little higher,
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 higher.
Just to know Jesus, we take that for granted so often. Well, today as we jump back into the study of the Spirit of God, we've been dealing with that whole theological term, pneumatology, and the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. I remember that Genesis 1 and 2, which gives us the focus of the introduction of the Spirit and His transformative process. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the sea was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's what we're dealing with. That's the power of God working in us. Before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me as we truly get to know the Holy Spirit in an intimate way. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I just thank you. Thank you for being God and God alone. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, Lord, and thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, God, for your body. Lord, I pray that someone may be looking in today, that today be their day of salvation, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Ephesians 2 and 4, that part of that scripture, it talks about you and your great mercy and your love that you have towards us. Help them to experience that today. Lord, for the saints, Lord, I pray that they be encouraged, Lord, and they grow closer to you. Now, Father, I ask you for this word to come forth in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, we're teaching on you, so would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just love you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we jump into the scripture today, we're back into Romans chapter 8, and our focus scripture is going to be Romans 8 and 16. Romans 8 and 16. We've been working our way through this chapter. This is a foundational truth chapter on the Spirit. Just within this section, you'll see 19 times that it talks about the Spirit and His leading and His guiding. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, Romans 8, 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our title for the day, the children of God, the children of God. Now, as we get into this section of scripture, I was just thinking as I was studying and meditating, just what it means to be a child of God. And I just had an example of my life. I am a child of Howard and Anita Woods, and they have really pictured my life being growing up. They told me to represent, to love the Lord with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so to be a child of Howard and Anita means something important to me, that I want to set an example that is pleasing to them. I want them to be proud of me. And it's the same respect when we are children of God. We need to understand who our parent is. Who are we pleasing? And God is taking it further. My parents could only do a certain amount. You know, they can set an example for me. They can train me, teach me, but they couldn't live inside of me. There was a point that, hey, you're on your own. But God has said, making you my child, I'm going to send you my spirit to dwell on the inside of you, to be able to lead you to become more like me. And we're going to talk more about that. And that is amazing. God has truly taken us the whole way, the entire way. For last time, we were in Romans 8 and 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Just some points in review from last time. Walk according to the Spirit. Jesus has given us the gift of the Spirit. Think what the Spirit thinks. I love that one. A choice of life or death. Remember fleshly. We talked about fleshly. And who dwells in you. Our time frame is about 57 AD. Paul the Apostle, being used of the Spirit, just digs in deep. And again, continue, we see that and hear that term of the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. This is a Spirit-filled life. In this chapter, we understand how to be victorious in Christ via the Spirit, not just a Sunday thing, but a Monday through Saturday, every day, 365 days of the year. We want to make sure that we're being led of the Spirit and we recognize who He is. Jumping back into Romans 8, 9, we actually taught in detail on that on last time, but we want to transition because this is a wonderful transition into what we're talking about today. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, last Sunday, I left you with that question of who dwells in you. I'm going to solidify it. I'm going to consolidate it, put it together. And this point is the Spirit of God dwells in you. Yes, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you are saved, if we are saved, if the whole process that we need to understand is that God's presence, God's Spirit dwells in us. And therefore, there are some standards that are automatically set up. There is some change that is automatically taking place. There's been so many times that when I think of my life that I become grieved and thinking that, man, I didn't put the Spirit first. I wasn't quick to pray. I wasn't quick to really focus in. But now as we're learning about the Spirit and growing in the Lord, I'm like, okay, God, what do you want? What is your will in this situation? Spirit of the living God, lead me. And I don't want to grieve God's Spirit. As we look at this closely in Romans 8, 10, and 11, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's a lot. We're going to break it down. Here's our first point. Life from the spirit. Life from the spirit. I want you to get that. Life from the spirit. Now, as we get into this 10th verse, there's some things I want to pull out. It says, and if Christ is in you. We've solidified as we're listening to this that Christ is in us. So this applies to the believers, all believers. If you're saved, Christ is in us. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life, or the spirit is life because of righteousness. I want to read that again. Get this in your mind. Focus a lot in this. If Christ is in you, he's in us, the believer. If we're saved, Christ is in us. It says the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, that's capitalized, is life because of righteousness. We must understand there is a difference of the spiritual life, God, and we're going to talk about that later, God's spirit on the inside of us and our flesh, our bodily desires. I remember back with Adam and Eve. We introduced man in Genesis. Beautiful picture. God's created this garden. Adam is by himself. Everything's in place. He gives them Eve, and they're together. Everything is just wonderful. And then the enemy comes in. The devil slides in as a snake. Sin is introduced because of the fall of man and woman. And from there, it matriculates down. Romans 5 and 12 actually gives us a summary of this whole body and death. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of sin. Now, this because all sin. And now, remember that. I want to, it's because of sin, but it's also all have sinned. Remember the scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. And this is where we find ourselves in that garden. Man, they messed up. And so death was introduced. And God said, he said, because you have disobeyed me, there's going to be death. It's going to be introduced into your life. You were living eternally with no death, but now that flesh, that sin. And so God has worked a wonderful, wonderful plan that we can be delivered from that judgment, delivered from that curse. Look closely at Romans 8 and 11 and that last part. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Even though our bodies, look at this in the scripture, are dead in a sense, or dying in a sense, we're going to get new bodies. Yes, the scripture's revealing here that through the Spirit, there is actually a transformation process that's taking place now. Even though now, physically, as we are alive and we're going through, our bodies are dying. I know we don't like to think about it, but when you were born, that process started. Aging occurred because of sin. That is this part of judgment that's upon our lives, at least within the flesh. But when you got saved, God was like, okay, even though your flesh is dying, I'm going to put some life on the inside of you. There's going to be a transformation process. And eventually, this is good news. You can put hallelujah in the chat. Eventually, we're going to get a changed body. We're going to get a body that does not decay, that does not age, that has life to keep up with what's on the inside of us. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 and 43 explains a little bit more. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I'm talking about the children of God. Isn't that good to know that one day we're going to have a glorified body? 1 Corinthians 15, 44 and 45. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. To know that we are children of God. Look at Romans 8, 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here's another point. Living the spiritual life. Living the spiritual life. Now, please understand, sadly, a lot of us picked up that the spiritual life was magnified on Sunday. Okay, we really get spiritual on Sunday, but that's not God's intent. The spiritual life is every day, every minute, every second that we're to live the spiritual life, the God-led life by His Spirit changing us from the inside out. That changes a thought pattern. That shows that God wants us to be an example in all that we do. Not saying that we're perfect, we fail and we go through, but we become aware that God's presence is in us, that God has done a wonderful, wonderful job of saving us, and we're going to talk more about this, making us children of the Almighty God. Look at this, Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now, I find an example in this. I've been teaching in many years on being debt-free. Get out of debt. And that's just in a financial thing that you don't have all these restraints on you. People know, you understand that when you're in debt financially, the more you get in debt, the more your freedom is taken away. You can't take vacations that you want to go through. You're limited on the places that you can go in your car because the debt man, he wants your money. The more that gets pulled on you, you've got calls that people are calling you saying, hey, I want my money and all these things. And so now pressure is put on your life. It's the same thing when it comes to the flesh. When you give in more and more to your flesh, you become in debt to the flesh, and the flesh begins to cry out. The flesh starts saying that I want this, I want that. It lust and anger and unforgiveness comes up. The more you become in debt to the flesh, now you're finding out, man, this battle is overcoming, and the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, now your flesh begins to rise up. And sadly, within our lives, so often we forget about, we've got to crucify that flesh. We've got to let the flesh know, you have no dominion over us, because the Spirit of God dwells in us and we are the children of the Almighty God. Some of you are getting set free right now when you begin to think about what God is doing on the inside. I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to tell your flesh to be quiet. You got to speak to yourself and you got to say, flesh, you have no more victory over me because I am a child of God. The Contemporary English Version brings it out, this 12th verse, a little bit clearer. It says, my dear friends, we must not live to satisfy our desires. Sadly, so many people, that's what they live. They live for the weekend. They live for their desires to be satisfied. That is the foremost. But please, God is saying not our desires, but his desires. Yes, does he bless us? Yes. Does he give us pleasures in his life? Yes, he does. But it's not about our pleasures. It's not about our desires. It's about the leadership of the Spirit and being children of the Almighty God. As I was thinking about that example, starting out, you know, being a child of Howard and Anita, there were some things that I wanted to do. I'll be honest, I wanted to do some things, and they were some bad things. We're not going to talk about those things now, but please understand, because I was a child of Howard and Anita, I wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to please them, so I chose not to do some of those things that my flesh desired or I wanted to do. In the same respect, it's the same thing with God. As he's dwelling on the inside of us, our flesh is fighting. We're going to deal with that, and we've got to choose the leadership of the Spirit of God. Look at Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Someone put in the chat, die. Think about it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. How do we deal with that? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's truly a struggle of life and death. It's a struggle of our flesh with life and the Spirit going back and forth. Talked about this a little bit earlier. Galatians 5:17 out of the NLT. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. There ought to be some hallelujahs. Yeah, that's what it is. That sinful nature always desires to do evil. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions, children of God. You ever been there? Yes, you have been there. We've all been there where we want to do the right thing, but our flesh is fighting and we're going against the temptation, and those who are getting to know the Spirit, you can sense it. You can sense, hey, God, I want to do your will, but I want to do this. And it's back and forth, back and forth. But the closer you get to God, the more you get into his word, the more you're praying, the more you're conscious of the powerful God that's in you, you can overcome the flesh. Children of God, look at Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There's a lot in that. This is another point. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, Woodrow Knowles actually lays out a wonderful thought to kind of concise this. He said, there is one characteristic quality of all who are truly born again. That quality is that in their thoughts, behavioral patterns, and lifestyles, they are constantly and habitually led by the Spirit of God. Man, that is heavy. In our lives, are we constantly led by the Spirit of God? Now I'm going to be honest. We failed, as said before. We go through. But the older you get in God, the more you're growing in God, the maturity level should go up, and God should be leading you more. You should be more conscious of his presence. That's why I believe God put this on my heart, to teach on the Spirit, to teach on his movement, to teach on this personal relationship and understanding what the Lord has done. Can you truly say this of your life, that I'm allowing God to lead me on a daily basis? Can you truly say that? If not, I pray that today be a changing point, that you can say, God, I want you to lead me and guide me. I want you to order my steps. I want to be aware of being a child of God. Look at closely at Romans 8:15. That last part, it says, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, this a lot of times this translation has kind of been misconstrued, but it's an Aramaic word, and it actually means this closeness, this intimate form of the word father, such as papa or daddy. Papa or daddy. This is amazing. This thrills me to think about, that God allows us to call him daddy. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm telling you, when you become intimate and understand, God says, I want to get so close to you. I've put my spirit on the inside of you. I want you to be able and feel comfortable with calling me daddy, to call me papa. Now I'll be honest with you. This has become a growth process in me, because, you know, I call him Father God, and we call him God, and we worship him, and he's all of that. But to call him daddy, that this is serious. When I think about my dad, I had a text from him the other day, and we communicate back and forth. That's my daddy. That is my daddy. Now, if you come and you can be my friend or whatever, and you come and you call my daddy daddy, I'm going to be a little upset, because that's an intimate term between him and myself, that I can call him that. And it's the same respect with the Father God. When we are children of God, he said, I bring you into the family. I'm making you intimate into my family. And we've got to ask ourselves, have we gotten to the point that we're that intimate with the Father that we can say daddy? I'm telling you, if we get to that point, all things will be possible to those that believe. When we get to that point, how many things are you fighting against right now? Those walls are going to fall. There's going to be some deliverance in your life, because now you understand, I've got daddy on my side, and I can believe and trust him that he's working these situations out. Some of you just got set free right there when you started to think about, daddy is working on my behalf. I'm telling you, even if you had earthly fathers, you can call on your daddy and he's going to show up. He's going to fix your car. He's going to do whatever you need that he can at that point. But to think that we have Elohim, that we have Father God, the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and he said, you can call me daddy and I got your back. I'm talking about being a child of God. Look at Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself, this is important, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is our final point. And I want you to get this, because we're going to continue on this trail in talking about this. This point is, we have an inheritance. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. Now, I'm blessed to be thinking about this, because we are child of God. God has said, I've written you into the will. There ought to be some shouts of prayer, because some of you, you don't know. You don't know if you're going to get anything or not. You're not even thinking about that. But God says, I just want to get it out. You have become my child. You can call me Abba Father. And because you are truly part of the family, you get an inheritance. Now, saints, please understand, when you come cognizant and aware of the sinful nature of mankind, how many times we messed up, it only takes one sin to send us to hell. That should be astronomical. That should just blow your mind that God says, I'm going to bring you into the family in spite of yourself, in spite of your issues. I'm going to allow you to become intimate with me. I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. And then after all of that, I'm not just going to let you into heaven, but I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to make you a part of all of the plans. I'm telling you, just to be in heaven would be enough, but to have an inheritance for eternity with God. Romans 8:16, again, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you know that you know that you know that God has saved you? That is the question. That's where we've got to get to the point to really grasp being a child of God. You got to know that you're saved. You've got to get past, well, I think so, or maybe, or most likely. You got to come to the point that it's beyond yourself, and you say, you know what, I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart, and there's been a change. Oh, a change has happened on the inside of me. It's bigger than just a Sunday experience. It's bigger than just a Wednesday Bible study. It's bigger than just a prayer service. But God, he's on the inside of me. Jeremiah said this. He was going through some struggles, and Jeremiah said, forget it, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not speaking this word of God anymore. Jeremiah 29, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Children of God, I'm telling you, you know that you've been saved, because there's a change that happens on the inside of you, and every now and then you'll feel that pull like a wheel in the middle of wheel. Every now and then you'll know, and he'll just whisper in you, you are my child, children of God. Look at Romans 8:17 closely. And if children, then heirs. We got an inheritance, don't we? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God, through his spirit, has made us a part of the family. And just to know that we're part of the family, man, it does something for us. Some of you may have started off today in a sad disposition, but now you're like, I am a child of God. I don't care what the devil brings my way. God will help me to overcome it. I don't care what obstacles I got to go through in the next few days, as long as I grasp this fact that I am a child of God. Galatians 4:6-7 sums it up. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm telling you, just to know that we're saved, we've got an inheritance. God has called us children of the Most High God. Now, I want to share this final thought with you. During this week, I was going through some things, and I read this quote from Spurgeon, and it really blessed my heart. He writes this, he said, we were once the servants of sin, but he who made us free has now taken us into his family and taught us obedience to his will. Listen to this. We do not serve our master perfectly, but we would if we could. As we hear God's voice saying unto us, thou art my servant, we can answer with David, I am thy servant, thou hast loosed my bonds. But the Lord calls us
not only his servants, but his chosen ones. Any chosen ones out there? I have chosen thee. We have not chosen him first, but he have chosen us. I'm talking about children of God to know we fail. We've got issues, but God said, I have chosen you. I love you in spite of you. You confess your sins, and I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and make you more like me. And to think about this quote and to think about God's word and to know that we have been changed, that's why Jesus had to go to Calvary. That's why he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was making us children of the Most High God. That's why he cried out that third time, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He was making us children of the Almighty God. That's why he didn't fight back with Judas. He was making us children of the Almighty God. He took beatings for us, and he goes to that Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. It was all in the process of making us children of the Almighty God. There on the cross, he looks down on humanity and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to carry their sins. I'm going to carry their griefs. I'm going to deliver them. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but yet he gets up with all power and glory. And now that same glory, that same power, that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ dwells in us and makes us children of Almighty God. Saints, doesn't that bless you? Doesn't that do something to you to know that you are saved and God's presence dwells on the inside of you? The Spirit wants to lead you. He's made us children of the Almighty God. And I was thinking of that Romans 8:16 again. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And as we've gone through these scriptures, there should be some information that's going through your mind. But in your spirit, there should be some rolls on the inside. Rolls like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And you're saying, I know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus dwells in me. The Spirit of God leaves me. I know that I'm a child of God. Jesus paid the price for us. Early this week, I was thinking about one of my friends. I actually was able to see him a couple weeks ago. His name is Dale. And he told this story, and I don't remember if it was just a story of someone else, but I think it was actually happened to him. He said he had got in trouble. He was probably around the age of 10 or so, and his dad was getting ready to discipline him. Had his belt and everything, and I told him to go upstairs, and finally his dad came with the belt, and Dale understood that he had made a mistake. He had sinned. He had done wrong, and discipline was on its way. And Dad walks in with the belt, and what Dad does blew his mind at that point. Dale's dad got down on the floor, all fours, and he gave the belt to Dale and told Dale to hit him. Yeah, and at that point, it's crazy because all of us understand, you know, if you were raised with a dad like my dad or others, you're not going to hit your dad. I don't care if your dad tells you to hit your dad. That is a mistake. That is a no-no. But his dad kept on saying, here is the belt. I want you to hit me. I want you to hit me. And finally, Dale breaks out in tears, and he says, hit me. And so Dale takes the belt and hits him. He said, hit me again, harder. And he hits him again. He said, hit me again harder, until finally Dale is just blubbering and just crying and just falling apart over the whole thought. And his dad looks at him and says, this is what Christ did for you and did for me. He took the beating for us. You deserve the penalty. You deserve the spanking, but I'm taking your penalty just as Jesus took our penalty to make us children of the Almighty God. Saints of God, that will change your life. That gives you a new perspective to know that we are children of God. If you don't know him today, why wait? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. Yes, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered and set free. Why wait? Look at what's going on in our world. Look at this craziness. Not just here in the United States, but all over the world. I'm telling you, it's the end times. Ask him into your heart. He'll save you right where you are. Get connected with a body of believers that you can be discipled and you can grow in God. And most importantly, get to know about the Spirit of God leadership in your life. Saints, if you are saved and you've been delivered and set free, I pray today be an encouraging point that whatever has come your way, whatever struggles you're going through, you can say, I am a child of God. I've been delivered. God is on the inside of me and he's given me his spirit. Saints, oh, what a wonderful reality and blessed life that we live because we are God's child and we can call him, you know what? Daddy. Yes, I'm a father, Daddy. And he loves it when we connect with him. Let's pray together. Father, Abba, Daddy, thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us in spite of ourselves. Thank you for your son, Jesus, paying the price completely for us and getting up on that third day with all power, that now we can live in your authority and power. Forgive us, God, for so many times failing you, for so many times allowing the flesh to overcome the spirit. But Lord, we make a determinance today to want more of you. Lord, we thank you that you're ordering our steps. Thank you for the victory. You left us here for a reason. Help us to fulfill the purpose in our lives. We just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Aren't you excited about being a child of God? I am. Just to be saved and delivered and set free and have God's Holy Spirit given to us to dwell on the inside of us and to lead us into all truth. As you go through this week, I want you to focus more and more on this wonderful salvation that God has given us. Until we meet again, you be blessed.